Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
She is the former head honcho of the Raiders, Los Angeles, Oakland, pick your city. She was there. She's Amy Trask, now with CBS Sports. Amy, great to have you back with us.
Well, it's great to join. Thanks for having me.
Odell Beckham just talked about the preseason, Amy, and how he said, okay, gave some players an opportunity to make a team. Others, not so much, because we had already made a team and we didn't want to risk injury. And this year, no preseason games. You saw the books. How vital are preseason football games to an NFL team?
Now, are you asking me, when you mention the books, are you asking me how vital from a financial perspective, or are you asking me sort of as an overall basis?
Financial and then overall.
Okay, I didn't know if you were using the term books specifically to reference money. So here we go.
I actually was, yes.
Well, I love that. I love that. We're going to have a little finance talk. It is, and this is not an effort on my part to punt, no pun intended, but it depends on the team. The economics associated with preseason games are more significant to some teams than they are to others. And what dictates that difference in large part is how lucrative the team's local media rights are for televising those games in market and beyond market when they broaden their range, and how lucrative their gate is, their suites are, their club seats are, what their deal is with their stadium authority. So it can have a very substantial impact on some teams and a lesser one on others.
Would it kill some teams if they did away with the preseason, Amy? I'm wondering, does this year, is it a blueprint for what could be ahead, or are they immediately going to say, man, we needed that revenue, we need to go back?
Well, I do think in many regards this is a tremendous, tremendous beta test for what can be done with respect to the preseason. I've thought for many, many years the number of games should be reduced, and there's been a lot of discussion about reduce them in part, get rid of all of them, so, you know, ratchet back tremendously just a little bit, or leave it as is. I've been a fan for a long time of reducing the number of preseason games to two. One at home, so you can get all of the, you know, the glitches and kinks worked out for a home game, and one on the road for the same reason when it comes to team travel. From an economic standpoint, it's manageable. Again, it will impact some teams more than others, but I do think this is a great beta test for saying, okay, look, we did it with no preseason game. Here's what it meant for football purposes, for financial purposes, for business purposes. Now what if we go back to two? So I would not be in the slightest bit surprised if we do not see a return to four.
Amy, I'm just curious, and I don't know if Clevelanders care about this or not, but I do. I'm just wondering, how much of a challenge was that for you in Oakland, battling the Niners, I guess, in that fight for TV, local TV money in the preseason? How much
of a battle
was
that? That's a great question, and it was an issue, and it wasn't simply the 49ers in that regard, but when you look at the Bay Area market in general, up until this year, two NFL teams, two NBA teams, if you include Sacramento, which I do because the radio and television markets overlap by a substantial amount, two baseball teams, hockey, and by the way, two very good college athletic programs. And I will say in that regard, clearly Cal is better than Stanford. So, yeah, come on, bring it, Stanford people, because this Cal girl is going to take up for her school.
We were kicking around this notion earlier in the show, Amy, and I said I want to ask you about that. Rule changes to protect the quarterback, and we understand it's the marquee position, but I wonder, has that translated to guys playing even longer careers at the quarterback position? Because now was that part of the thinking of the NFL to keep these guys in it longer? Because Brady's 43, Drew Brees is, what, 41? And then in their upper 30s, you have Aaron Rodgers and Roethlisberger, and Matt Ryan is up there as well. You have some older guys, Aaron Rodgers, that have been in the league a long time. Was that part of the plan, or is that just a byproduct of the plan to keep quarterbacks safer?
Well, I think it's a great observation on your point, because clearly you look at the way quarterbacks are projected today. And, you know, I don't want to name names, but rhymes with Schmady. You know, quarterbacks today will go, you know, if anybody even comes within a whisper or a whiff, they're looking at the ref, where's the flag? Where's the flag? Where's the flag? And that guy that rhymes with Schmady does that quite a bit. And you're right. You cannot compare the physical toll a game takes on quarterbacks under the current rules with what it was not even a generation ago, not that many years ago. And, of course, there's a correlation, and I would say causation, rule changes, quarterback longevity. But that's not the only factor. There are other factors as well. But the rule changes did address that issue of wanting to keep guys in the game longer. You're absolutely right.
Amy, I'm just curious, does the NFL keep an eye on Major League Baseball here? Because there's still been some rumblings about, as you would call it, in bubbling for the playoffs. Does the NFL keep an eye on that to see if they could bubble up for the playoffs if something should go wrong here?
Okay, first of all, I love you that you referenced my in bubbling word. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have reminded my nieces and nephews about 600 times that their aunt is now in the Urban Dictionary for that word. They're getting a little tired of it, but that's okay. They'll live. Thank you for using that. And absolutely, you're absolutely, of course, right. The league is keeping their eye on everything. What the NBA has done that has worked, what the WNBA has done that worked, what baseball did that didn't work at the outset. And they're looking at NHL and MLS. And, you know, I don't think the league wants to in bubble. Well, I should say this. I'm confident the league doesn't want to have to in bubble for the playoffs. And we don't yet know what the circumstances will be come January. But I did suggest in my most recent piece in The Athletic that should the league want to in bubble for the playoffs, I know just the spot, and it's Los Angeles.
Well, I got to think that if baseball changed, I mean, that's also the hot spot for baseball too, right? That they would pick two cities between San Diego and the L.A. Venues there, and then Dallas looks good, real good with two baseball venues going there right there too.
As sure as to Dallas and the Los Angeles / San Diego, that whole Southern California region for baseball. But for football specifically, there are a lot of football stadiums within the Los Angeles area. There's the Rose Bowl, the L.A. Coliseum, SoFi, the facility in Carson. San Diego is a drive away, not an air flight. So all that teasing we always take in Los Angeles about, you guys have fans of every team there. Well, guess what? That would work out pretty well for in bubbling.
Yeah, you could use Cal and Stanford too. I didn't even think about that when you said that.
But you'd have to take a plane to get there. And I'm trying to look at only within a drive.
I see what you're saying.
Randy Newman sang about it. I love L.A. Okay.
I always liked that song, by the way. That was a good song. Amy Trask is joining us. She's from CBS, and she's the former CEO of the Los Angeles Oakland Raiders. Fans in the stands. Apparently, they're having some trouble in Kansas City selling tickets. They're allowed to put 17,000 people in there. We're allowed 6,000 in Cleveland, Amy. Is it, and I know there's big money on the line, is it worth the hassle to get the revenue to try and put 6,000 people in a stadium during a pandemic?
Yeah, it's a phenomenal question, and you'd have to look at the arrangement that exists between the team and the stadium authority. Who pays the expenses? Where the costs are borne, there's innumerable factors that one would have to look at. But your point is very, very well taken. At some point, and I don't know the break point for Cleveland without seeing their contractual arrangement with the stadium, but there is a point at which expenses will far exceed revenues. So query then whether the team is looking at adding, or any team that's looking at adding a limited number of fans, is doing it for reasons unrelated to revenue, and that may well be the case.
Hey, I'm just curious, what do you think of the Browns? I mean, what do you think of this team with Baker Mayfield?
I am excited as heck to watch the Browns this year. I like a lot of the changes that have been made. I like the tone and tenor that we've heard, or maybe the better way to say it is we haven't heard from the Browns this offseason. I've shared this nationally. I have not yet shared this in your market. So here goes, Cleveland fans. I think the AFC North is one of the most exciting divisions to watch this season. Baltimore, we know, is a phenomenal team. Pittsburgh has Roethlisberger back. We'll see how that goes. Cincinnati has a new quarterback in Joe Burrow. Cleveland seems to be in a, it's sort of in a different, I don't know the kind of the word in English I'm looking for to describe it, so I'll go with French. There's a different je ne sais quoi about the Browns this offseason, and it looks like there's some good leadership at the GM position. So I am very, very excited to watch the AFC North this offseason.
Amy, you had the Raiders in Oakland. You had the Raiders in Los Angeles. What do you think of the Raiders in Las Vegas?
I'm of two minds, and they're not mutually exclusive. Everybody jumps me on either side of the equation thinking it's mutually exclusive, and it's not. For the fans who are heartbroken that the team is again leaving Oakland and the Bay Area, I'm heartbroken for them. There are some teams who will some fans who will continue and follow the team to Vegas, and there are other fans who said, nope, enough. I'm done this time. I'm heartbroken. You've broken my heart. I'm done. And I'm heartbroken for them. But on the other part of the equation, for those fans that are thrilled by the move and that will be enjoying Las Vegas, I'm thrilled for them. Those aren't mutually exclusive. I will add, though, that the team is going to have to make a paradigm shift. Not this season when there are no fans, but when fans are back filling stadiums. And that's as follows. When you went to a game in Oakland, that stadium was 97, 98%, 95% Raiders fans. When you go to a game in Las Vegas, once we're back up and traveling as a country and attending road games as a country, you're going to have a lot more fans of the visiting team there. Sure, you're going to have a lot of Raider fans. But if you're a fan of a team that is playing the Raiders on the road, and you can go to only one road game, well, Vegas vacation, baby, here we come.
Yeah,
that's a great point. Amy, you can't get away from Clevelanders. You're doing a show with London Fletcher now. How's that going? Tell us a little bit about Tops.
Back for another season. Can't wait. London is a terrific, terrific teammate to me on that other pregame show, as he was with his fellow players on the field. He really is that terrific linebacker. If ever he sees that I might be about to stumble or bumble, he steers me right back to the play and lets me know where I should be on the field. So can't wait. We start again this coming Sunday.
All right. Be nice to those Clevelanders. That's all we say.
Always. And I will tell you as I leave you that Cleveland fans are magnificent. I always enjoyed when we played in Cleveland, watching the passion they had for their team. And I wish you all the very best this season.
Amy, thank you very much.
Thanks,
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Amy Trask, former CEO of the Raiders, joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.